Hey, hey, hey. Time to do some coaching. All right. I got Lisa, Russell, Carrie Ann, Heather, and Vicky all on deck for today. So will you raise your hand if you're getting coached? We will get started. Hello, Heather.
How are you?
Good. Tell me what we're coaching on. Or tell everyone. I have your notes. Tell everybody else what we're coaching on.
Okay, so about 15, 20 years ago, I had lost 100 pounds because I developed an eating disorder where I basically stopped eating, or when I worked out, I would burn as much as I ate for the day.
That's a good thing I didn't say good for you, because I almost did. That was not the way we want to do it.
Exactly. So I guess before I really get to my question, I think it's just important to know that I'm really good at sticking to a plan, and I'm really good to eating my hunger scale, and I work out regularly.
All right.
Yeah. So I've been doing really, really well for several months. I started in June, but I am noticing that the scale is not moving really at all. I mean, it is. I've lost 10 pounds.
Okay, so you've lost 10 pounds. Let's say it this way, because I want you to see where your brain went. Well, the scale's not moving at all. Well, not really at all. Well, I've lost 10 pounds. Like, especially for somebody that comes from your background, where more than likely it is a lot of mishmash of thoughts. The only way that when we do that kind of exercising and we do that kind of weight loss, it's because our thoughts are not under control. We are letting them run rampant and they're self-loathing. So when you talk about, I've lost 10 pounds since June, sounds way different than, well, it's not really moving. That's your thought about, I've lost 10 pounds since June. It's not really moving. That's a significant thought.
Yeah.
That's not true. I was like, shit, I'm lying to myself first. Why would I do that?
It's true. Yeah. I guess I hadn't thought about that. I think one of the problems I have in my thinking is that I expect it to be more.
Right. And that's why it feels like it's barely moving if it's supposed to be more.
Right.
Why should it be more?
Because I do such a good job and I work out so hard and I weigh myself every week, just because that's what I do for health wise. So I don't get caught up in all of that. And, some weeks it just won't go down, even though I know I did everything really well. And then the next week it'll be down like 4. And so I guess I'm just wondering, why do some bodies do this? Why do some bodies take longer?
It has nothing to do with that. You're asking the exact wrong question. I want to know why you think 1 pound a week is not really moving and it should be faster and it should equal more. Because I just counted when I wasn't looking at you, I was counting. June 1st to now is 1 pound a week you've lost, which is exactly where you want to be in terms of healthy, sustainable weight loss. Very interesting that your thought is, why are some bodies just don't move? Why do some bodies just seem to not work like they're supposed to?
Mm-hmm. I think part of my reason is I still get caught up in when I was, in essence, starving myself, which I know wasn't good, and you just had these amazing weight losses.
Oh, this is where you got to change your, this is what I want you to see. Oh my God, I wish I had a whiteboard in here. Your brain is saying, when I abused my body, I had amazing weight loss results. No, you didn't. You know what you had? You created an environment to regain all your weight. Mm-hmm. That is also a thought you could be applying. There was never amazing weight loss happening. It may have felt good. Let me tell you why it felt good. Because you, how you thought about it. Like, this is working.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Rather than, and what is the one thought that we don't have right now?
That it's working.
Yeah. The only reason why it doesn't have creating an amazing weight loss experience is because Heather is throwing her weight loss experience under the bus of an eating disorder.
Yeah. I just hadn't thought about it that way at all, or that it was 1 pound a week. And damn.
That's why you do the model.
I do. Yes.
Yes. That's why it's so important for you to be doing the model, because when you put 10 pounds since June as the circumstance, and you notice that your thought is this isn't good enough, something's broken, whatever's happening there, you can run your model and then you can put it in the same effective model. You could like say, like, this is data I should investigate.
Yeah.
And then you can like break the math down and be like, okay, so what if my circumstance, what if I do a different model of I'm losing 1 pound every week?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, well, and this is what, so we call this creating a focused model. And a focused model is where you take your circumstance line. Like when you've been running models on this, what has your model been? Like what has your circumstance been?
Just that I'm not, like I focus more on the negative, I think. And so my circumstance is that I'm not, oh, you're going to yell, that I'm not losing enough, right? Like that I'm working.
Yeah, but that's not the circumstance. That's your thought about 10 pounds.
Yeah. So the circumstance is like, I didn't lose any weight this week is the
circumstance. And that's not a circumstance.
Oh.
That's your thought about a number. I didn't lose any weight this week. Let me ask you this. So you could, like, I want to show you the difference between models. So like your circumstances, I didn't lose any weight this week. Does that feel something to you?
Yeah, it feels like a failure, kind of.
That's
like
how we know it's not a circumstance. Circumstance have no feelings. Like, let me ask you this. This is a blue cup. You're like, well, that's disgusting. Or, oh my God. Like until you have a thought about the blue cup, nothing happens. If something is in your circumstance line and it already generates a feeling, that's how we know it's a thought about something. So your circumstance, when you say, I didn't lose any weight this week, whatever your weight was, let's say your weight was 180 pounds. The number 180 would be up there. It would be like August 14th, 180, August 21st, 180. I didn't lose any weight this week. Because here's how I know it's a thought. You know what else? You know what I would be thinking? Next week will be better.
Yeah.
Or you could be like, I weigh the same. Rather than I didn't lose anything.
Interesting. So which, I guess then that I was thinking in my mind, which is of course what you just pointed out was totally wrong.
No, it's not that it's wrong. I don't want you to go into judgmentville on yourself. It's not that it's wrong. I'm just pointing out where your thoughts are.
Right. Yeah. I guess I was thinking that saying I didn't lose any weight this week was the circumstance, but instead it's just the number.
It's yes. That is your thought about the number.
Okay. Okay.
That's why, like, I love a good, really clear circumstance that there's no interpretation, no feeling about it. It's like, what do you weigh right now?
I weigh 230.
Okay. So if we had had, 230 on this date, 230 on this date, then you know that you're going to have a thought about it. Your thought drops into, I didn't lose any weight. And then I want to know, like, and where you've already shown me is, and what are you making that mean? This isn't working. Amazing results only came when I did these things. Like, that's when we'll bring up a lot of the undercurrent for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing you've got going on right now is you need to really separate. This is everyone to really work harder at separating out your thoughts versus the facts of what's going on.
Definitely.
Give yourself the opportunity to see that it's working.
Yeah. And relearn the circumstances.
Yeah, and just go to just go to module 4 and re-listen to the model lessons. That will help. We're getting ready to redo a lot of that stuff for you guys because I've gotten better at teaching it. But until then, just listen to module 4 again. Listen for like the difference between a circumstance and a thought. It'll really help, especially in this situation where you're going to, so often when, especially when something means a lot to us, our thoughts feel like facts.
Yeah.
They definitely feel very factual, but it's when you can really start identifying when they're not and start separating them out is where you start really making some like traction and momentum with changing how you think. Because what happens is a lot of times it's like you want to hang on to a thought. I'm not saying you do, but a lot of people want to hang on to the thought, but I am not losing weight. But if it feels terrible, then you're going to spend all your time trying to feel better about something you feel terrible about rather than, oh, I'm creating drama. And rather than just changing your trying to feel better about something you don't like, you actually start understanding what's happening and deciding what to think about it.
Great. Thanks.
So it's working. Don't allow yourself to think this is but I want to say this. Okay. I want you to really do some work on how you lost weight before. And I want you to rewrite that story. You have part of the story is, well, and that like that was a bad thing. I don't want you to even tell that it was a bad thing. It wasn't a bad thing. It's just what happened. I want you to tell the story though, that it didn't work. It was never as amazing as I remember it. Like, don't give it a hero factor at all. Because if it was like it created amazing results and stuff, then there's going to be a piece of you that will always feel like this will be too slow. Because it's not going to be as fast as killing yourself. Ever. But it will last longer because you're not killing yourself. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Good luck, sweetie.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye. That was a good one. This happens a lot. All right. Carrie, I don't remember who I just talked to. I think that was Heather. Yes. Carrie and Vicky, are you here? Raise your hand. Hello, Carrie. Just keep your hand up, Vicky, okay? Girl, you got to turn that phone around. You're all silent. I'm just like, oh, I'll be talking to you like that.
I'm going to give you a neck ache. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So what are we coaching on?
So, God, I can feel I've woke up starting to cry this morning. For the gift of fat challenge, I gave you 18 and a half pounds.
Jesus, thank you.
Fucking right? I feel like a complete imposter, Corinne. I can't accept it. I have a hard time admitting to it. I have a hard time delighting in myself about it. I looked at my action tracker and it was beautiful, with the exception of sleep, which I know is like my four basics that I really need to start focusing on. But I feel like feeling, but there's just like this pervasive feeling that somehow I lie, cheated, and stole my way to get there. When I didn't. Like, my action tracker is gorgeous. You know, part of me does, I fast, not frequently, but I do fast. I won't even say I do it a whole day a week. I do intermittent fasting.
Okay.
I normally am not hungry until probably about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I work at 6 a.m. So I'm up at around 5:30. That's a big stretch of time that I'm not eating. I'm pretty diligent about drinking 64 ounces of water before I ever even eat.
So why are you so bad about this? Like, you're just doing your thing. So why are you like, here's all the great things I'm doing, but what is the but?
Corinne, I'm seeing this like pervasive within a lot of areas in my life. Like this just keeps coming up. Like,
okay, well, let's solve it here and it'll solve it in the other areas.
I hope so. Yeah. Why? I'm not sure. Like, I'm undeserving. I can't be as good at this or as consistent as I say I am. Like, somewhere inside of me, I'm like, you're lying, you're lying, you're lying. But I look at my tracker and I saved my month of planning. I planned every friggin' day. I did my recovery worksheets. I drank my water. I did my 2 and 2. And when I didn't do those things, I was in a recovery worksheet.
Well, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
What if this wasn't a problem? Your imposter syndrome. What if this is like just literally the way your brain's always operated, and that when you do, like, if you have a general feeling that you're undeserving, always know that the moment you have success, it will tap on that inner belief. And that's okay. Yeah, but this is what I want you to think about. Rather than like getting really upset about it, and like, this is the broken part of me. It's like, I'm going to fulfill this prophecy. There's something undeserving. So if I'm losing weight, then I'm going to have to feel bad about it. Rather than just being like, this is the part where I panic a little bit and I do that, but I'm just going to keep going. I know it's not true. It's like, because this is what I'm hearing. There is a part of you that believes in the new you. You know why I know this? Because each time you try to tell me about how you're not deserving, you go, but I have my data, but I have all this. You just need to realize it's like, yeah, like I have the facts that I earned it. I have the facts that I'm showing up. I have the facts that I'm doing my recovery sheet. I'm doing the things. The only thing that's happening is it's running head into this old version of me that's just not ready to go yet. And that's okay.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
We all do it. I go through, and let me just tell you, you know how you say so pervasive, just keeps coming back up. Yeah. Anytime you're becoming a newer version of yourself and one that's going to experience success, because it doesn't matter how successful you get. Like, I want y'all to think about me for a second. So, like, I've lost my weight, right? And then I build a business. And then every time I go for the next thing, guess what happens? I tap on this, but this really isn't you. Because I'm having to do something new every single time I want to do something new. Mm-hmm. That's just normal. And I just think a lot of us go through it. We just have to quit having a panic attack about it until we go back to our old self.
I've been having a 2-week panic attack over this.
Yeah. And the easiest thing to do is to stop panicking and accept that that's normal, that nothing's going wrong. It's like, continue to give yourself evidence, continue to keep taking action, continue to do the things. And then when you feel like a little vomity and panicky and upset, just be like, and this is the part where I freak out a little bit.
Okay. Because
people who are doing new things freak out.
Yeah. Time management has me that way too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
Anytime you're getting your shit together in some area, your brain naturally fights for the old version. Even if the old version sucks, it's like, yeah, but we sit around and beat ourselves up and it doesn't feel good and everything. It's like, I don't care about that part. I like the continuity of just doing the same things over and over again. Even if you don't like the result, your brain likes the continuity. That's the only reason why it's fighting.
Okay.
Continue to give yourself the evidence and just tell yourself it's okay to be scared.
That's nail on the head right there. I'm terrified.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And what are you terrified of?
A few things. Success. Like, I'm terrified of, I have known for a long time in ways who I want to become. And then finding PMP and listening to you and listening to Brooke, my life in the last 2.5 months has just, it's changed so dramatically. I see her actually becoming, and it's scary as fuck. But I also see how for the last 25, 30, 40 years, I've been slowly building up to who she is. And especially in the last 10 years, I had to deal with and walk through a lot of trials and bullshit in order to now be able to be in the place where I can become her. And it's scary. And it's scary to see that all of this future me that I've dreamt of for so long, I'm at the threshold and I'm opening the door and I'm entering this whole new world of her that I've always dreamt of, that I've always known. And I already am, but now I am even more becoming. And it's so scary to me. Like, she's here.
But her being here, why is that so scary? Because of what?
Maybe because I dreamt of it for so long and was so busy berating myself for not being there, that now that I'm actually there, I get to and have to let go of the self-abuse and the self-loathing and the victim or the poor me. Or and I'm also finally in a place where all of the abuse and all of the shit that I've lived through and conquered, it doesn't fucking matter anymore. All that matters is who I am becoming. And that has always been so much of me that it's like a shedding. Like I'm literally leaving all of this behind and walking into this new life. And my mind is blown. My heart is blown.
What is scary about the new life?
It's all different.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, it's all different. Everything, every step I take, thinking is different. This model that you and you have, like, I see myself not just writing it down, but I'm working it out as I'm going along during my day. Well, CTFIR. Mm-hmm. And it's changing everything. It's changed my relationship with my husband. It's changing my relationship with myself, my kids, my work environment, my desires for business. So everything is new, everything's changing, but yet there's still so much of the old that I have to continue to shed that it's scary.
Well, and I think that's what we were talking about. Like, this is why it feels so discombobulating, because you've got, haven't really, you know who you want to be, and you're so strongly drawn there now. It's like, this is when you can tell you're doing the work on who you want to be, when you've really uncovered, like, oh my God, this is the shit I got to quit thinking, and this is the blah, blah, blah. Because your life will present to you over and over again who you used to be. Like, all the situations are still there. The way people have talked to you, the memories, all the things keep coming back. And it's like, and we're now, like, really aware of how often that held us back. And it wasn't those things. It was me. And that's heavy for people. But you're in a really good spot, because this is where you know you are, like, this close to it becoming more automatic. Because when you feel like you're being pulled toward the new you, you're doing it right. And you just, like, be patient with yourself and just know, like, of course I'm going to freak out and panic. I'm not going to be a victim anymore. I'm stepping into responsibility and I'm stepping into uncertainty. I'm going to do new things. Probably going to have to do, you know, like, your brain knows that becoming a new version of you also, like, it may be exciting and, you know, like, all the dreams and all the big picture stuff's there, but you know what else is there? Knowing that there's going to be a lot of work, and it's going to be a whole, like, you, like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to just self-loathe anymore. And I'm not going to be able to just eat, because I am going to know that that's not who I am anymore. So you're just in the right spot. I just want you to tell yourself when you're freaking out and stuff and say, like, girl, this is normal. We don't need to be freaked out about the freak out. Just, it's okay.
Thank you. Thank you. I this time management, really quick. The time management thing, like I've had the hardest time getting into it. It's all I want to do, but I had like this stop in me, like, oh, well, you know, there's just, it's hard to just kind of categorize everything right now. I was making it hard. I woke up the other day in the middle of a like dead sleep, and it was almost like my spirit, whatever you want to call it, my subconscious was reminding me that from the time I was little, I have been setting goals for myself. I didn't want to be like my family. I did that. I didn't want to raise my kids how I was raised. I've done that. I didn't want to live my life in victimhood. I've done that. I wanted to be a certain way. I've done that. And like the shedding of this weight, and I lost 200 pounds before, but I never dealt with my mind.
Yeah.
The shedding of this weight and dealing with my heart and my mind at this time, that's a goal I've set for myself. And now I'm again going to do that. And it was like my spirit was reminding me, my soul, whatever, that I'm already a goal setter. I'm already someone who goes after big goals and achieves them. And I've achieved the hardest goals, which is changing the history of the past and changing my future. And now I'm just changing my future again in a different way, and almost even on a smaller scale, even though it will look more successful to other people. You know, I've done these big things. This is just the next step. And I've just, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just keep plugging away. You like literally, I am not worried about you 1 ounce. You are right. Especially when you're like panicky and terrified. That's exactly, I know that sounds crazy to a lot of people. They're like, when do we just feel better? It's like, I want us all to feel better. Do not get me wrong. I like for us to be happy, but what I want for us most is to be able to do what you're doing. Like, I'm just telling you, I'm scared shitless and a little panicky, and I think I might have imposter syndrome, but I can handle it. Yeah. That is like everything. To be able to handle and work through your own negative emotion, understand when you're doing it and when it's just normal and all that stuff, you conquer the world after that. Seriously, doing good.
That's where I'm headed. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you. All right. Bye. All right. Somebody says the model is amazing. I just used a modified version of my 5-year-old. My son understands the model. He couldn't like just get out a whiteboard and break a model down for you guys, but he really understands that thought, feelings, and actions, like that middle part of the model, is everything. Circumstances and results aren't, but when you really understand how to just think for yourself versus just being like, well, it's how I've always thought, or this is the thoughts I was given, you know, as I was growing up and blah, 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 makes such a difference in your life. And I just think that for all of us who are moms or aunts or whatever, there's no better gift than we can give our children than to help them understand their own thoughts create their feelings. Because once you teach a child that, they go out into the world in an empowered stance. They're not going out into the world thinking that their boss is pissing them off, or that you know, their husbands or their wives are what caused them to either be a success or not. Like, it just allows our children to really have like even more control over their life than we were ever taught we could have for ourselves. And I don't think that there's a better gift we can give our kids. That's why, you know, with Logan having autism and stuff, one of the best gifts I think I ever gave him was understanding his thinking and his feeling, because he can feel so much more maturely than most people I know, including grown ass adults. And it's not because it comes natural to him. It doesn't. We have taught him how to think and feel for himself, because it was never going to come natural. And I honestly, I think it's one of the best blessings that we've had with autism, is that we've been able to have to, like, I felt like we were put in the position to have to do it. And for a long time, I felt that that was like a bad thing, until I realized it might've been the best thing that ever happened. So anyway, there's that. Okay. Vicky, yo up.
This is your
everybody in their sideways phones. I can't talk like this. All right, what are we coaching on?
Well, I'm a little nervous.
It's okay.
It's my honor to meet you. I have to tell you, the first podcast I found of you in January, I loved you from the minute I met you, because my oldest is Corinne.
And oh, wow.
F-bomb like it's a comma. So, yeah, I loved you from the start. You're honest.
Because that's not a common name at all.
Nope. I named her after my great aunt, Corinne, who I just adored. So, yeah.
Well, and mine, so my great grandmother was named Corinne. And so my mom was named Corinne, and she went by Anna. So when she had me, she always loved the name Corinne and wanted to be called Corinne. So she swore when she had a daughter that she was going to be named Corinne. So I'm April Corinne.
Oh, fun. I love it. I found you in January. I started my first 24-hour plan in February and joined in June because I was sitting at about 20, 25 pounds of my 50-pound goal, and I knew I wanted more. So working what you're teaching and doing pretty good, I'm at 35 pounds now, and my trouble that I'm hoping help me with, I don't know if it's fat girl thinking or if it's body shaming, but I feel really good when I'm dressed. I've gotten into smaller scrubs, my clothes fit better, and my issue is when I see myself naked or my arms in a sleeveless top, all I can see are the bad things. All I can see is the flab and the loose skin. And it's so easy then, and I don't know if it's just an excuse to just be like, oh, well, you know, my day was good and now it doesn't matter. And I start thinking I'm never going to get to goal, or if I get goal, I'm never going to keep it off because it doesn't matter what I do, I'm still fat.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you thought about, like, when you... There's a few things here. Number one is when you look at your body, deciding ahead of time what you are allowed to think about it. Have you set any firm guidelines around that?
I try, when I look at my body, I try to find something positive.
Okay.
Like my face isn't as round as it used to be, or that my eyes are pretty. It might not even be weight related. I try to find something good.
But have you moved it on to the other parts you don't like?
I've tried to think about, our fourth child was born when I was 41. So mm-hmm. I try to think about the fact that my body has maintained four children, and that's why it's flabby, because I was
But let me ask you this. When you sit and think, that's why my body's flabby, does that feel good?
No, and I've tried to process that. I don't blame my children. I love them, and I would give them flabbier, but...
But let me ask you this, but I want you... This is why you're not reconciling any kind of body image. It's like saying, well, it would be like me looking at my legs and saying, well, they look like shit because you lost 100 pounds. You know, it'd be like, well, no fucking wonder, Sherlock, why you don't love them. If you have a good thought of like, this is the body that carried four kids. Mm-hmm. But your thought is, I'm so flabby. This is the body that carried four kids, and that's why it's flabby. Yep. It's that back end insult that you're putting onto it.
Okay.
All right. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to look at your body tomorrow and be like, and this is the body that like birthed four kids. And you're going to be like, rainbows, daisies. Now I feel better.
Right.
But it's probably going to take a few weeks of disallowing the flabby part. Because here's the thing, whether it's flabby or not, there's no upside to you thinking about it.
It's true.
None.
It's often always been in the way of being intimate with my husband. I know I don't like how it looks. And then even just spooning and he touches my stomach, I'm like, oh, don't touch that. And he doesn't want to insult me, but he'll say things like, well, it's so soft. Oh, I know, because it's flabby.
Yeah, but so to him, it's soft with love. To you, it's flabby. Mm-hmm. Like, what if you were like legit able to just be like, yeah, it's soft. Like, literally just get to the point towards it. You don't have to be like, it's soft and it's the best thing that could have ever happened to me. But if you, like, we just need to get to a point where you're neutralizing your body. Right now you're still, you're holding constant judgment over it. Because, and this is why this is really important. Because you're going to lose your weight. And if, I don't care if it looked amazing. If you're in the habit of pulling it apart and it not being good enough, then your brain will have to reconcile that you're not good enough. So it will figure out a way for it to not be good enough.
So keep talking or start talking more positive so my brain catches on.
I don't even know if it's more positive. I think you need to do a better job of nixing the back end insults.
Okay.
Like, question everything you think. Like, why is it being flabby a bad thing? Like, if you lose all your weight, like, this is like I had to get to the point to where loose skin wasn't a bad thing. It just was a thing. Because if loose skin's a bad thing, then I will feel bad about myself in a thin body until I fill it back out. So that I, it's like, if I'm not going to feel good in this body, then I might as well feel good with food. Yeah. That is the evil cycle that we get into.
It is. And that's, I'm kind of where I'm at. I see the scale go down, but then I think, well, but I'm still fat, so I might as well eat ice cream. I might as well.
What if you just tell yourself, like, loose skin and like I've got all of it. But what if that doesn't mean you're fat? What if it just means this is the shape of my body and it's a process to love it just for now?
Okay.
Because if you're determined to hate your body, you'll sabotage it with food so you can hate it even more. You're fulfilling the prophecy. We all do this. This is why that model is important.
And I always put being fat on my circumstance.
Yeah, no.
Anyway.
That's a no. Okay. That is always a thought.
So what's my circumstance? I put the weight on there and that doesn't work through the fat thoughts.
Because you're not choosing the appropriate thoughts for that weight. What is your weight?
180.
Okay. So you're 180. And what is your thought about 180?
I my goal is to be in the 170s by the end of the month. So right now today at 180, I think, damn, I'm close.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm all about that. But what do you talk about when it comes, I can't reconcile the fat thoughts with my weight being the circumstance. What does that mean?
It means that no matter what number the scale says, I'm always going to feel like the fat one.
Okay, so that's another model. So you have the 180, you have one that says, damn, I'm close to 170. But I think what you're thinking is that 170 is somehow going to lead you to body acceptance. Mm-hmm. It's not. How old are you?
51.
Yeah. I'm 45. You're 51. We got 35-year-olds in here. I'm gonna be the one that ruins it all for you all. You might as well start getting in love with the body you got. I don't care how much weight you bitches lose. 10% of women have good elasticity in their skin. 10%.
Not very good.
Everybody who's in PNP tribe, we're all going to assume we're part of the 90% who's going to have loose skin. We are going to have imperfections. And sitting around and thinking that more weight loss is somehow going to make us love our body is wrong. The only way you love your body is to start talking about your body in loving ways. Finding acceptance for your body and your life and enjoying it. Like, I could be spooning with my husband and thinking, thank God he wants to spoon with me. Right. Versus like, don't touch my belly, it's flabby.
Right.
Like, we have to enjoy our life and we have to quit making it. Like, you're not going to enjoy your husband more if you're thinner. You're going to enjoy your husband. Because I guarantee you, at 170, you know what you're going to do? You're going to find the next spot on your body that you don't like, And you're going to be hypersensitive about that around him. Oh, no, it's true. Because you haven't learned the skill of appreciating your husband and his words. You've only taught yourself how to use his words to figure out what's wrong with you.
Yes.
So back to 180, you have two models. You have one model that is, damn, I'm close to 170, which is fueling wanting to lose weight. You also have the other one, which is like, you know, I'll never have the body I want. Or I forget what you said. You had a long sentence there. What was it?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, it's something around not having the body I want.
Right.
I'll never have the body I want. So why bother?
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother model about the same number. It does address, like, you, like, that circumstance line is addressing, like, you think it means I'm fat. 180 is like, I have a fat body. You have a body that weighs 180 pounds.
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm. That is a fact. Mm-hmm. And I tell you this because if I weighed 250, I would give my eye teeth to weigh 180. That's how we know that your circumstance can't be, I have a fat body. Somebody is looking at you going, mama, give it to me. I'll make use of it.
All right.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I know better than to think the way I'm thinking. It's just hard to wrap my brain around that sometimes. And I learned so much from other podcasts and the self-identity of who I am, and that to give myself more credit for being a good person the way I am, the way God intends me to be. So it's just to stop beating myself up and work the model better instead of saying I'm fat as the circumstance. So yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah, that, for all of you, that is not your facts. Here's what I want you to think about the next. Yeah, I'm fat is never a circumstance. It's just never a circumstance, y'all. So just never do that. But here's what I want you to think about. The next time your husband is spooning you, here's where I want your thought to be. This is an opportunity to love that man.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an opportunity to self-loathe.
No.
We have to all be on guard for that stuff. I do the same thing with Chris. Like Chris, all he wants to do is like, rub on my butt and stroke my leg. He just thinks my legs like meow. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, don't you know I carried all my weight down here? Like, you know, in my mind, it's like there's this incredible story about my legs and they don't belong in the bedroom. That story, it needs to go away. It never serves. You do not need to think about what might be and all this other stuff. It's like, here I am. Someone's trying to love me, and I'm using it as an opportunity to not love myself.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not doing that anymore. I'm just going to appreciate my man right now. You don't even have to appreciate you yet. You just have to quit disappreciating yourself and focus on what's important.
All right, my dear. Thank you.
Thank you. This is always a good topic. I love talking about body stuff because I work on that. That's probably the two areas I work on the most personally is body acceptance and my son. If I ever solve those two things, y'all better watch out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All righty. Bye-bye. So we have a question from Brenda. Can you recommend a book that is an easy read to describe or explain the model? There's not one in particular about the model, Brenda. Like, there's no book on the model. Brooke had a book. Hang on one second. Let me go look. I don't still have it. She used to have a book. I don't even think she sells it anymore. You can watch my videos. We're getting ready to... it's going to be in a couple months. We're going to do a little bit more work on the model. I'll tell you what, Kathy, can we pull together Brooke's podcasts on the model? Like, can we just create a resource just for now to include in No BS that's like even stuff that's not mine? And I know we've done that recently. Let me look and see. This is No BS. Hang on. I think I actually might know where some of this is, Kathy. Let me look at the back of this. No, it's not in here either. Somewhere here recently, I pulled together some of Brooke's recommended podcasts. Like I went through all of them and looked to see which ones were on the model. And I know, oh, you know where it is. Okay, good. Let's get that inside this call. And we may want to put, you and I can talk about it tomorrow on our call, where we want to put it inside of No BS until we end up redoing those modules for everyone, because I have some stuff I want to redo. So it's a good question, Brenda. I have time to coach one more person. If you want to raise your hand, anybody who would like to get coached today, we can do it real quick. Christine, you got it up first. Make sure you're not driving. If you're driving, I'm going to die. Okay.
Driving.
All right.
Okay, am I on?
Yes.
Sorry, I was still laughing about you and the Chris rubbing your legs. That's funny. I know. We were just chatting. But anyway, so okay, there's a bunch of stuff. I haven't done this before, so okay. So I'm a little nervous here. But I think I just wanted to talk about the time management stuff. I'm really enjoying the course, but I have a really hard time with managing my time because I do plan every day, but then everything seems to go out the window. And it's because
nothing goes out the window. I want you to say it like this. I make a plan and I somehow choose, like I choose not to follow it. And here's why, Corinne.
Right. So because things come up.
You choose to do those things versus what you planned.
I know, but they're important things.
Well, so then say,
it's deciding which making more.
Other things come up. I deem them more important than this. Like, just take responsibility that this is you. Like, I can give me one thing that you can say, well, Corinne, it's really not my fault. The reason why I'm doing this is because this happened.
Right.
Like, tell me when the last time somebody came and put a gun to your head and said, you have to do this task. You must break your plan right now, or I will kill you. When was that?
No.
Last Tuesday?
No. It's just I guess I feel obligated to do things for other people more than myself.
Okay. So that's more truthful. I want you to notice the difference in how you just said it. It's like, here I am. I'm going to take ownership. I'm choosing to break my plans because I feel obligated to other people. So I choose to do that rather than I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to feel bad, whatever. Just take ownership of it. Cause you'll never have authority over your time if you think things happen. It's like, if the school called me right now in the middle of this call and said, Logan is throwing up and bleeding out his eyes, I would not get off this call going, oh my God, things happen. I don't understand. I guess I better go. I would not blame Logan. And I'm like, I'm so obligated as his mom. You know what I would do? Peace out, bitches. My son's sick. I gotta go. I would take full responsibility for ending this call and going and doing that.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. But yeah, because most of the stuff that I do is for either my husband or my dogs. I don't have any kids, but my dogs are my kids. And
tell me when you break your plans for your dogs. This is a good one because their feelings can't get.
No, but my dog's been sick and she just passed away on Monday. My one of them. So she was an old girl. So she had like dementia and issues and we were taking her daily for like.
But I want you to know IVs. That was a choice.
Okay. I agree.
Like it wasn't that I'm like a bad point. Like you said things just happen.
Right.
It just goes out the window. Like, we have to first and foremost take ownership of our time. Here's how I would have said it. Hey, Corinne, I'm not sticking to my plan. Last week, I had a sick dog. She ended up passing away. We took her to these things. I chose to do all that. I probably should have planned some of this stuff, or I should have just known that when my dog is sick and dying is not really a symptom of the greater problem.
Right.
Now, 3 months ago when you weren't following your plan and you didn't have a sick dog.
Right.
What was the excuse then? Notice
right. that. Always an excuse. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about this husband.
What's that?
Tell me about the husband.
Yeah, we both work from home together. So, yeah, so his schedule is whatever. He's in and out of meetings and stuff like that. So I try to work my stuff around, because when he's out of a meeting, he likes to sit and talk about the meeting that he was just in.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Oh my God, your husband is me. My husband's in that room right now. This morning I went in like 3 times. Like, you want to chat?
Right.
Between meetings.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always stop what I'm doing to talk with him.
No, you don't. You can do like my husband does. He turns around and he looks at me and he says, pretty much. Yeah. He gives me a look that says, like, I'm in the middle of something. It's very clear to me that now's not the time to talk. Yeah. Like, you don't have to be an ass to him, but you can just say, like, hey, come back during this time. Yeah. Like, this is where I want to show you something. You can go to the action line of planning good quality, kumbaya, and all that kind of bullshit the moment you take responsibility for your time versus feeling like it just goes out the window. It's just happening to me. My husband just pops in and stuff. It's like, just say, like, you know what? He pops in, and I either am going to look at him and say, hey, I'm in the middle of something, you'll have to come back, or I'm going to say, like, plans out the window. What do you want to talk about?
Right. And then I feel guilty, and I know it's just a feeling, but how do I stop that guilt feeling that, I mean, I do. I feel guilty when I'm not available to somebody else.
Right. It's because you're thinking I'm not available. And so then you feel guilty as if you're doing something to them.
Right.
What if you're completely available, but at this time?
Right. Yeah, I could do that.
Until you're like really though taking responsibility for your time, you will always feel skeezy when you honor your calendar, because you will make it mean that somehow you're hurting someone else rather than honoring my time. If you're always in the space of it's my time, I choose how I spend it, I honor it, I create it, I do all the things, then you can have conversations with your loved ones that say, hey, I've been noticing that during the week I'd like to get more done. So let's get on the same page. I know you have meetings and you're going to want to come talk to me, but let's just have a time each day that we talk.
Right.
We just have a powwow first thing in the morning that says, here's the time today where we're going to like be all in on fun times discussions. Outside of that, we're not. And then when he comes in, guess what Christine has to do?
Right.
I'll see you at 3.
At 3. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
That's what Chris said to me a lot. He'll be today. In fact, today we're going to talk at 3 o'clock today. I went in there I don't even remember what the fuck I was talking about. It was nonsense. This was not needed. Right. But I was very happy. Like, I just remember being in a good mood. And he said, I'll see you at 3, won't I? I was like, oh, you must not want to talk right now.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I get it.
So. Step one, before you start going into your solving my problem on my actions, is take ownership that if I'm on my plan or not, this is a Christine problem, not an anybody else problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I really love all the information from the time management class. It's been really helpful. So I was just trying to do that. I did set up a meeting with him yesterday at 10 a.m. And I just say things got crazy because it was still dog stuff. So I know it's not a good week to plan right now, because it's just, we both take loss really hard. And I know a lot of people do. So it's just, I thought, well, we'll just give it a week and then go from there. But I'm definitely going to take a lot of those. That information and go from there. So
yeah, I'm going to tell you, If something happens to Lucy, all calls are off for a couple days. That will not be because things got crazy or whatever. You know what it'll be?
Because I agree. Yeah.
I needed this for me.
Yeah.
You know, just keep talking in terms of being in control rather than at the effect.
Right.
It will never hurt you long term to just be like, in everything, the way it happens, I'm deciding. Like, if I want to feel bad, I'm choosing to feel bad. Like, that's what I tell you guys about your negative feelings. Like, no one hurts your feelings. Like, you know, like, nobody can make you feel guilty. It's like, I'm choosing to feel guilty right now because. And when you start doing all of that, you'll start noticing that if you understand you can create all of the friction in your life and you can create all of the drama and everything, that means you can also create the ease and you can create the simplicity of your life too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking for more simplicity, but I've been journaling a lot about it. I think I did like 5 to 7 pages like every day, just trying to be like, I don't want to eat my feelings. I journaled. I still did overeat and not that best. So, but
let me ask you this: what do you want to do with your feelings then? If you know you don't want to overeat, have you wrote about what you do want to do?
I did actually, but I'm still new to all of it, I think. So it's just maybe just starting to sink in more and more. I started in January. I've lost 30 pounds, but
you're doing pretty good.
Well, thank you. And I, you know, a lot of times I try not to compare, which I think is a lot of people do, but I get, you know, frustrated because I've been going up and down some playing with the same 5. And then I'll get to, just try to get to drinking more water and staying on my plan and stuff like that. So it's just, I'm taking it as a learning process and being kind to myself about it.
Well, just keep in mind when you're thinking about your feelings, like if you know you don't want to eat, I always love it when I'm doing my work and I have a girlfriend that I ding on this all the time. It's like, it's really easy to identify what you don't want. But when you are only thinking about what you don't want, you're kind of living in the harder part. It's like, ooh, that's what I want to stay away from. It's almost like creating there's a danger zone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Think more about what you do want. So when I feel sad, here's how I want to feel it. Here's how I want to show up.
Yeah.
It allows your brain to think and flex in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you start moving more into what you want to create for yourself versus this is just the stickiness of what I don't want to be in, you know?
Right.
Just try it. It's always beneficial for me. So
yeah, I will definitely do that. So I'm looking forward to seeing you in October. So thanks.
We were just talking about October camp right before this call. We had our team call. We were going over all things.
October. Yeah. I just got, my mentor is Melanie Cook. So I'm excited.
Oh my gosh. She's so good.
Yeah. So we set up our Marco Polo group. So I'm excited.
She's a good fit for you too. Melanie is like, the calm in the storm. You know, like I always feel at ease when I'm talking to Melanie. Like she's, she kind of like, I can sense that you're probably not like, you want somebody all up in your face, you might appreciate a little love.
and Kim Helm was my one for Don't Stop Believing, and she was wonderful. We have a great group.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I appreciate all the great women and all the support and everything. So,
good.
Thanks.
All right. I'll see you in October.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. All right, my loves, that's it. That's all we got for today. Y'all have, somebody said, Lisa, I have tried several times to find an accountability partner on Facebook. I have not had any takers. Do you have any suggestions? Lisa, go back to, I'll tell you what you can do. Go to the Facebook group and create another post and tag Mary Jo and tell her that I said to not stop until you find one. We'll get you hooked up. It's just, sometimes it's especially when we don't have new people right now, what's happening is we just have a lot of people that already have groups and stuff. It just gets missed easy. So don't worry about it. We'll find you one. So if you'll just, create your post where look, you know, tell us what you want and everything, and then tag Mary Jo and just say, Corinne said to tag you so that I can for sure make sure that I get an accountability partner. That'll work. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye y'all.